All right, ready?
Yeah.
Welcome to my...
That was awesome.
Welcome to the Lax Goalie Rat Podcast. Every week, we'll be talking shop with lacrosse goalies, coaches, and special guests. This is the Lax Goalie Rat Podcast. Now your host, Coach Damon Wilson.
Ladies and gentlemen, goalies from around the world, welcome to the Lax Goalie Rat Podcast. I'm your host, Coach Damon, and this is the show 100% dedicated to the best position in sports. It's the lacrosse goalie, and on this show, it's my job to track down the best goalies in our sport, interview them, have some conversations, see what makes them so great, see what are the mindsets they have, the drills that they use, everything, just something that you can use to level up your own lacrosse goalie game. My guest on the show this week is Mira Shane, professional goalie from out of Athletes Unlimited. She's the winningest goalie in Michigan history. Went to the University of Michigan. Coming from Princeton, New Jersey, Mira is awesome. She's passionate about social justice, mental health, music. We hit on all of that, including a little beatboxing session. Mira is an awesome goalie, awesome young lady, and I know you're going to enjoy this conversation. So ladies and gentlemen, it's Mira Shane. This episode is brought to you by the Lacrosse Goalie Summit 6. March 28th through April 1st, we've got 12 of the best lacrosse goalie coaches in the business lined up to give you free presentations, free coaching sessions on different elements of lacrosse goalie play. It's going to be an amazing event. If you're a goalie, if you're a goalie mom or dad, if you're a coach who needs to work with the goalies, I definitely recommend attending this event. The goal of this entire thing is to level up your goalie game. Guaranteed you're going to get inspiration. You're going to learn a ton about the goalie position, things that you never even thought about, things you never knew, or maybe even just a new way of looking at things. It's going to be tons of fun. We got a lot of giveaways from our sponsors, so we'll be giving away free lacrosse goalie product as well. To get a ticket, it's free to sign up, absolutely free to attend live. You can get a ticket at goaliesummit.com. Goaliesummit.com. Get a free ticket. You'll then, after you sign up, have the opportunity to buy the VIP pass, which is replays to everything. But first, you got to go to goaliesummit.com and get signed up. I'll see you on March 28th. Going to be awesome. It is a pleasure to welcome to the podcast professional goalie, University of Michigan alum, go blue, Mira Shane. Mira, welcome to the show.
Hey, so good to be here. Damon, you freaking rock, and I love that you got the maize and blue on in an indirect way supporting your Bears. So yeah, happy to be here.
I love it. Mira, I think you are the one who rocks, and I can't wait to get into your story. But everyone wants to know, maybe everyone, maybe just me, where did it all start? How did you become the goalie?
Oh my God, at Michigan or in life?
Just in life. Let's start with life. We'll get to Michigan, but okay, in life, cool. the young Mira Shane.
The young Mira Shane. All right. So basically, I think it goes back to getting my first stick in fifth grade. I had a camp counselor who was really into lacrosse, and I'd gotten the stick from a family friend and was kind of playing around, and obviously grew up in Princeton, New Jersey, where they have a great program, great women's and men's team. And I grew up going to some games, but when I got that stick, my dad, who's from the south side of Chicago and also a Black man, was like, I don't know what to do with this thing. Like, I thought we were going to be, I was a basketball player. I'd always been into b-ball. And when I brought the stick to camp one day, I just started having to pass with my camp counselor. And that's kind of where the bug got me. And, from that moment, I then started playing for like a local intramural club team in sixth grade and rocked the field for a little bit on defense. but hated the skirts, was not my jam. I really didn't mess around with the skirts. And one day my coach was like, hey, we need somebody in the cage. And they were going to alternate kids in. And I raised my hand. And I was like, any opportunity to get out of this dang skirt. And honestly, it sounds kind of fun. And my dad was looking for me out on the field. He was like, has anybody seen my daughter? Like, she's honestly one of the only black ones out there, slash the girl with the crazy curls. Like, where is she? And they were like, I think that's her in the net. And from that moment on, I just, I loved it. Every time my coach was like, who's got it? I was like, pick me. Like, I'll stick with it.
Yeah, I love it.
And then, you know, now here we are.
Yeah, well, here we are. And did it come, would you say it came naturally for you? Or was it one of those things where, like a lot of youth goalies, like me, at first you're kind of like flinching and you're like, wow, what did I sign up for with this goalie thing? Or how was your experience in learning the position?
Yeah, Damon, that's a great question. I try to think back to those like emotions and feelings all the time, because I wonder sometimes if like, I don't think I was like, oh, this doesn't hurt at all. I think I was kind of real with it, being like, oh my God, this is like nuts. And, you know, I also remember like going to Lacrosse Unlimited with my mom and it being a really big deal, being like, hey, we're getting you the proper equipment. We're getting you shin guards, thigh guards, a good chest guard, a helmet that is legit. But, you know, I hope this money like comes back to help us out. And like, we see the return on this huge investment. So I feel like I kind of knew the reality, but I also really loved the energy around the position. And I still like really try to tap into that energy in every way that I possibly can, playing now from the pro level. And I also try to do it at Michigan.
Yeah. That's one thing just in talking with you, and we spoke on the phone before, a little FaceTime. I mean, your energy is awesome. I love it. Like, I would love to play defense in front of you, because like when a goalie brings that level of energy to the game, like to life, right, it's awesome. And yeah, I'm curious where that came from. Is that something your parents taught you? Is that just your personality developing over the years?
Yeah. I mean, my parents have told me as like a little infant, even like, you know, straight from being 0 years old, 1, 2 years old, I always had like, this kind of way about me. And I feel like though it developed from an awesome upbringing with two parents that I love so dearly, that are both healers in their day-to-day life. Like, my dad's a massage therapist. My mom is a psychoanalyst, specializing in adolescent girls. So I have like the body and mind and how to take care of them in a really intense way all the time around me. And I live, you know, in Brooklyn now. So I'm only a 60-minute train from my parents, and I'm definitely an only child in the fact that I can't stay away from them. But honestly, Damon, I feel like where I get my energy from in my day-to-day now is I love feeling other people's energy, right? And reading what they have to give me. And in a way, I try to reflect that back to them, or I try to, you know, if they're having a tough day and their energy maybe is on a lower level, mm-hmm, I try to pick them up in certain ways. And you know, you can't always be operating on this high energy plane. Right. I feel like it's a balance of just trying to really empathize with folks and connect with them in whatever energy they're kind of giving off. I don't even know if that makes any sense, but that's kind of, it just happens naturally, right? But when I try to zoom out, because people have been asking me so often, that's really what I try to emulate.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. Well, there's a lot of things in there that make sense to me. One is, you know, even if you're like a really high energy goalie or just a high energy person, like, it's okay to not be that every single day. Like, you're going to have your off days, right? You're going to have your days where like, oh man, I'm just not feeling it. And that's fine. That's fine. Right. But it's like, let's just have one of those days and not string together like seven of those days in a row. To be like, you know, a great leader and a great teammate.
Totally.
So then how did you, you know, obviously you said your dad was kind of new to the sport. I imagine your mom maybe new to the sport as well. Like, how did you go about, you know, learning how to make saves? How did you go about being a good goalie?
Yeah, no. I mean, looking back, I think back to my dad and I would call it 1,000 Shot Saturday. And this was more when I was getting into kind of early high school, eighth grade, ninth grade, and trying to work for a varsity position, which I totally didn't know was coming my way at all. I actually thought after not many people know this, but after that first tryout, my freshman year, the coach, I was the only freshman that got called over, and the coach was like, oh, Mira Shane, like, could you come over? And I looked back and I remember thinking like, damn, I'm the only freshman that got cut. Like, I didn't even make the freshman team. Yeah. And I ran on over and she was like, we want you to be our varsity goalie this year. And I was like, what? And I remember freaking out. Like, just, I thought that, I always think like there's so much more to get better and there's so many different ways. And so that's how kind of like I've taken on my game in all these different ways. So my dad, to answer your question, we'd go on Saturdays and my teammate of mine had an old school, like out of the 70s tennis ball machine. And we would go to this tennis court near her house. And my dad would sit with this machine that didn't even have legs. And he would just rip tennis balls at for 1,000 shot Saturday, a couple Saturdays in a row. And then, you know, we finally, we found a private trainer actually that I worked for that was an awesome guy. His name's Bob Henderson. He worked at one of the D3 schools around me in Princeton and really just started like not making me a technical goalie, but making me somebody that could, I was always lunging at that ball. And so he tried to give me that edge of, you know, finally using my stick a little bit. And yeah, I mean, I feel like I have my parents' full support all around and my mom mentally just trying to prepare me, being like, are you okay? You know, there's that therapist again being like, are you all right? Like, yeah. Doing this. Yeah.
And that's super important. That's super important, right? So your dad's doing 1,000 shot Saturdays, which I love. That's amazing. such a great name. I hope the young kids listening out there incorporate 1,000 shot Saturdays into their life. And then you got your mom saying, hey, are you okay? And that's a real important thing for lacrosse goalies. I'm curious, was there ever a time like in your goalie life where you're like, hey, I'm not okay. Like this is pretty tough.
Oh yeah, for sure, Damon, for sure. I feel like, you know, it kind of comes with the position, but also comes with life and just trying to be a good person, but also a student athlete, right? Like I felt it so many times later in my career at Michigan, where, you know, I was kind of having this imposter syndrome of, I'm just really want to put my head down and grind and work really hard. And so many times, you know, I got caught up in comparing myself and like how I could get better, but like was looking at, you know, the other goalies that were there with me or I would, you know, just focus not on myself, when so many times I feel like for the young kids, young goalies that might be listening into this, like imagine how your game can shift if you just focus on your game, right? And nobody else is, like, not even the players in front of you, right? Like what if each game you get out there and you're just like, all right, here are my goals for the game. And here's what I'm going to try to do for my teammates. And that's really been able to come to me now more on the professional level of really feeling like, hey, I'm okay. No matter where I am, if I'm on the sideline or if I'm in the net, like I'm okay. We're doing all right.
Yeah. Yeah. That's such an important lesson. I mean, not only on the lacrosse field, just like in business or in life, I find myself like at the very beginning of this whole lax goalie rat thing, I was always like comparing myself with other people. Yeah. And it's totally not fair too, especially in business when you're comparing yourself, or maybe on lacrosse too, but like someone could be 10 years ahead of you, right? Of the work you've put in. And now all of a sudden, like I'm supposed to compare myself to that person. That's just not fair. And it's right. A recipe for mental problems. That's a real good lesson, I think. Love it. So then, you know, you start to get some like looks in high school. Like how did the dream or how did the idea of playing D1 college lacrosse come to be?
Yeah, it came full force, honestly. I mean, at first I really loved basketball. Like I was telling you, I was a baller and I wanted to play basketball in college actually for a while. Uh-huh. Until I really was like, cool, puberty has hit me and I'm rocking and staying at a solid 5'5" on a good day. And I don't think I'm dunking on anybody. And you know, I still love basketball. Like I still shoot around with my pops in our driveway, but that's kind of where it started to shift. And I also had switched club teams for 1 year, thinking that I could get more looks somewhere. And that one So the one coach actually my freshman year was like, you're getting some looks. Like, have you actually thought about playing in college? And that's when I was like, I'm getting looks, like, whoa. And kind of that, after that freshman year, I shifted club teams. I went to go play for Ultimate Lacrosse, led by Michelle DeJulius, who had been a Princeton coach for a long time. And, you know, her wife was also a head coach at Princeton basketball. And I had been going to b-ball camps with Courtney Bankart for years, and kind of put my trust in her to run my recruitment process. And from then on, my parents were kind of like, we have no idea what we're doing. My mom was like, listen, I'm removed from sports, but I really care about you academically. And so is my dad. And I was like, okay, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to run my entire recruitment process by myself. I'm going to write all my emails. I'm going to say in my emails that I love music and that I have this passion for it. And then I started going to visits, and I was like, every visit that I go to, I need to make it clear that I have to be able to do music. And my dad would drive me, you know, to a couple of places, and it really became clear that the Ivy League was what I cared about, because I wanted that sort of academic push. But it also became clear that I needed an institution that was going to back me up athletically and academically. And I kind of was shooting for the stars, honestly, Damon. I was just like, let's go. Top 20s. Like, I don't even think I'm good enough for this. Boom, let's go, throw it in there. And then, yeah, I ended up at Michigan, and I have no regrets at all.
That's awesome. Well, congratulations. Yeah. Congratulations. It usually works out, the recruiting process. I've talked to so many goalies, and a lot of them are like, you know, I was thinking about this school, ended up going to this school, and yeah. And they're like, and I love it. Right. So, like, I don't know, playing college lacrosse is such an amazing experience that I would say to young goalies listening, just like, it's going to work out. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah. Yeah, I would totally agree. I would also say, you know, a lot of people, I wish I knew this, but like, you got to advocate for yourself, you know? Like, I think there's so many different ways now with recruiting that involves like all this technology, and you can get highlights made for you and all that. But at the end of the day, I think, you know, when you go to a visit to a school, like, be real with the coach on what you care about, you know? Like, I cared about diversity and inclusion. I cared about being able to do music. I cared about like really connecting with the coach, and that's what I had. I really connected with the Michigan coach at the time, who was Jenny Uwila. Like, we had an awesome relationship. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I had a coaching change mid-career, and I still made it clear, like, I got to be able to do my music. I have to be able to surround myself with people from identities that are like mine that I don't necessarily get on my team. And so, you know, to the kids out there, be real about that. I don't think there's any shame in advocating for yourself. And, you know, I was the last recruit in my class. I was the last pickup in April of my junior year. And there was already another goalie who's one of my best friends. She was already committed in my class, you know? So I really signed on for a ride, but I'm so thankful for all the people that helped me along my whole entire process. So shout out to all those peeps. They know who they are.
Love it. Yeah. And I love that message too, about knowing, you know, just knowing what you want, right? It's so powerful. It's like, I feel like when you know what you want and like you put it out there into the universe, there's just a way of like it coming to you. You know what I mean? Whereas if you don't know what you want and you're not putting it out there, then guess what? You ain't going to get it. So being really clear on what you want. And for you, that was, you know, that's lacrosse, that's education, that's, you know, inclusion and diversity, and music. And I'd love to talk about those last two, if we could. What, for the inclusion and diversity piece, talk to us about why that's so important for you.
Yeah. I mean, I wrote my college essay on being milk chocolate, as I like to call it, like being biracial, having a dad that is a Black man and having a mom who's a white woman, and how those two very different identities collide in a really beautiful way, in a really loving way to create me. And so I look back at that essay, and it's really intense to read, because I think it's all about, you know, my high school self trying to sift through what it means to have this sort of intersect. But also it's about how it makes me and how I'm bringing that to the table in every conversation that I'm in. And so I think why it's so important to me, especially right now, as still, of course, a biracial woman, but all as a biracial queer woman now. And I, you know, I got a full-time gig where I'm a diversity and inclusion specialist. So I think about it all the time, in how, you know, we're in a predominantly white sport. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes people find it hard to talk about the lack of representation, but just like what we're doing now, Damon, like this is a way to talk about it freely. Like, you got to talk about the differences that we have in our game. But when you step onto the field and you're battling with anybody who comes from all different walks of life, all different backgrounds, maybe socioeconomically, you know, I think that's a really beautiful part of our game. That's the creator's game. You know, yeah. I know you had Amber Hill on here as well. Like, she's a really good friend of mine, fellow pro. And, you know, I learned so much from her in terms of how our sport came to be, and also what she has going on right now in terms of trying to educate folks about the indigenous roots of the game. So I think that's just a little bit of how I'm thinking about diversity and inclusion right now in my day-to-day life in the lacrosse world.
Love it.
Yeah, we do a ton of wicked cool work too, like on the Athletes Unlimited Pro side, to really like put our money where our mouth is. For all the initiatives that we're rocking and rolling on for pros that are from marginalized backgrounds.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah, I think that, like, you know, when you're right, there's not a lot of kids in lacrosse at the moment that look like you, right? I mean, let's be honest. There's more folks that look like me, but like the more they see you out there dominating, loving the game, giving back, the more they're like, hey, like I could do this. And so, I mean, that's what I love to do on this podcast, is share, you know, different ideas, different thoughts. I mean, like you said, I had Amber Hill. I learned a ton from her. As well, just having a quick chat. So thank you. Thank you for doing that.
Yeah, no, I mean, I appreciate you having me on. And, you know, I think to your point, it is such a crucial moment that we're at when you have even such a small pool of us, you know, in collegiate lacrosse. Like, you got so many athletes that are on the rise, that are folks of color, that are playing for so much more. I mean, so much more than themselves in a way. Yeah. And it's weird to hear you say, like, when I step on the field, I'm a symbol of that, because sometimes I feel like I need to push myself more, you know, because I think you can get the sense I'm a go-getter, but I also, you know, I can only speak for myself and my heart of what I've been through. And it means a lot to hear, have you say that I'm a symbol, because sometimes in my mind I'm still like trying to figure my own ish out, you know.
But sure.
Yeah, I think you're really beautiful. Appreciate that, man.
Yeah, awesome. I'd love to talk a little bit about lacrosse goalie specifically, like the technical piece. Like, a lot of people, you know, a lot of people, there's a lot of different ways to play, right? And I'm curious, like, you know, you're 5'5", so you're on the smaller side for a goalie. I'm also on the smaller side, I'm 5'8", so we probably have similar styles, but when you have to, you know, describe how you play this position, what, you know, what comes to mind?
Oh, so many crazy elements to my game. I think right off the bat, like, if I could only say this in two words, it would be split save. But I will elaborate. But split save, like, that is my bread and butter that I learned from my goalie coach that I had at Michigan, Jenny Capicchione, one of the first women to play pro on the box across side of things. She taught me so many elements of my game that I now have really taken on to my pro style level. A lot of it, you know, I gotta show you it. I knew I wore these rainbow pants for a reason. I
mean, yeah.
A lot of it is, you know, it's a wider stance.
Yeah.
A lot of stance, and also having the ability to just keep my back. When I'm in the cage, I don't turn, you know, I'm not going to turn like this and set when the ball's at X. I'm just going to turn my head and stay in that middle to slide into the cage.
Interesting.
For a split save, you know, it's almost like I'm dancing like a disco out here.
Right.
But it's about letting your body be nimble. So I feel like so many parts of my game are staying in the middle, because I feel like they're going to attack me. And a lot of shooters end up in that middle fan anyway, when they're coming down the alleys at, you know, finishing their dodge. And so I kind of just stay ready and in my wide stance through the entire play. Mm-hmm. You know, we got 2-point shots happening. We have a lot of stuff. So I really, I play better when I don't move as much. And I keep it really simple. So
yeah,
I'll send you that clip of the split save too, Damon, because I feel like you really enjoy it. Got to stay loose out there and flexible, man.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Send me that clip, the split save. All right. Yeah, that's one thing I noticed, like when I watched some clips of you play and look at some photos, is that, you know, that wide stance and get and kind of bent down looks real athletic. But as a smaller goalie, have you ever felt like that leaves the top of the goal open, or are you kind of in your head thinking, all right, I'm a little smaller, I'm down low, I know what I'm giving up, right? Yeah. I'm going to be all over that when that comes. What's your thoughts there?
Yeah, no, I mean, that's a great point. I think that that's one of the things I'm currently working on. Honestly, just by even using visioning, because I think that that's such a big part of the game, like thinking through how you're going to play up here. Yeah. And then walking it through. But yeah, I mean, I think when my stance gets too low, I think that that is not good. I think it's a happy medium that I'm trying to find in that balance of, yes, showing more weight above and being ready to throw my hips forward for a high explosive save, right?
Yeah.
And also being really limber and low to the ground, using gravity as my friend. And, you know, I can't even tell you the amount of hours that I was on one of those huge track pads. Like that, God, what is that sport? Is it pole vault, where long jump, where you're like sticking a pole in and then they flip over the top of it and land on a pad?
Pole vault.
What is that? Pole vault. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So pole vault pad with my goalie coach, just ripping out splits. She'd throw balls at me, like getting the motion of letting your body go. So yeah, I mean, I think that's
interesting.
I mean, I hope my competitors are watching this and honestly being like, ooh, mirror's exposed up high so that I can practice that and get my hips going before the summertime.
There you go. Well, I don't know how many AU pros will listen to the podcast, but after if this episode comes out, they might, you know, like, let's see what I can learn. Here we go. So technique-wise, are you a flopper? Like when the ball's down low, like, are you throwing your whole body behind it to try and make that save?
Yeah. So I would say the movement that I'm doing is I'm dropping my, I actually just started boxing to help with this, but I'm dropping that inside knee and letting it hit the ground. And then my leg is going out. Yeah. I'll show you again. How.
Yeah. All right. Let's get those rainbow pants back in the mix.
Get it moving. Yeah. So this is the movement, right? My knees are, this is the 25-year-old in me, but the drills that I used to do would just be up, up, down, down, up, up, and then learning to even walk like this to get that hip mobility in there.
Yeah, those duck walks, those are so huge for hip strength and flexibility. And I think that's where a lot of saves are made with hips.
Totally.
Really do.
And a lot of people don't even think about, you got to throw your hips on a high save. You know what I mean? Like almost, I wish I got to send you some pictures, but like sometimes for me on a high save, I even see how I'm on this curve, right? Like my body is ending like this. If you're looking at me from a side angle, because you're fully extended like that, right? And your back's going up. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really cool.
Awesome. Yeah, well, me too.
I love it.
Me too. That's why I got a whole podcast dedicated to it, right? any other unique elements of your game, or maybe things that have changed along the years?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think the biggest part for me is a lot of young goalies will get training. And, you know, I think also on the women's goalie side, it's really hard because sometimes you could have a man that's training you trying to teach male style training, which is totally cool. And I think it's awesome. But I think sometimes the games are different. So I think you need to pick and choose what feels good for your own body, right? Like what could feel good for somebody that's male identifying could be completely different for someone who's woman identifying and who maybe has more flexibility in their hips or doesn't want an upright stance. And so I think for the young goalies out there, like pick and choose, like go to some camps, get different training from different people, and something is going to eventually click and mold that into your game. Anytime I do a clinic with kids, I literally start off by saying, after this session, you're going to be like, that was the craziest clinic I've ever sat through. And that girl with the crazy curls is literally insane. Because, and I say that just because, I mean, one, we have a really good time and I try to keep the energy high, but two, I'm teaching something that could feel really weird, right? Like some of these new movements, keeping your bicep in and letting it explode out, they could feel weird. But I think a lot of kids need to pick and choose like what feels right for your body, because it's only yours, right?
Right.
And that's what I've really like been able to do, which is why I have a little bit of a different technique from other goalies out there, you know?
Yeah, just in terms of that, you're talking about like just in terms of your stance and kind of the way you attack the ball.
Yeah, like yeah. I don't even know if I'm attacking it sometimes, if that makes sense. I'm not stepping right to and trying to clobber that ball. I'm kind of letting the ball come to me and doing a lateral movement to protect it on my plane.
Yeah.
Right. So yeah. It's almost as if there's glass in front of me and I'm not going out and 1-2 stepping and covering it like this. I'm really trying to absorb that save. And that was, you know, that's all a dedication to my goalie coach.
Yep. What does a Amir Shane clinic look like? Talk me through it if you could.
Ooh, a miracle goalkeeping session.
There we go. Miracle goalkeeping. Well, first of all, talk to us about miracle goalkeeping. Then we'll talk about the clinic.
Oh geez. I mean, it is an official LLC, which I'm very hyped about, because I am trying to be a full functioning adult who does taxes the proper way and does all.
Look at you.
Let's go, man. Let's go. So I'm really hyped about that. I think miracle goalkeeping is, you know, something special. My whole brand, like the way it came to be miracle, my parents, they really wanted a baby when they had me. And part of the reason why my name is Mira is a little bit from miracle, as a miracle baby. It's just me with my rents. So that's kind of a tribute to them. But yeah, man, I'm trying to build out what it looks like to have clinics. So I've done a ton of clinics with Kaylee Waters, who's my girl. This winter, we got Long Island coming up this weekend. We got Vegas. We've got Baltimore. So yeah, just trying to build that out a little bit more. And I think at my clinics, what I try to teach is, number one thing I say is you can be a great goalie, but wouldn't it be really awesome to also be a great person? And think about that when you step in the cage, you know, like promise myself I wouldn't cry on this podcast, but I think that's something really special that I try to teach kids when they come, you know, because I think I remember going to clinics and feeling like I didn't have friends or like that I couldn't meet anyone or, I don't know, goalies are wild. So some people say things, but I just try to remind them, like, be a good person. Like some of these girls come and they're in really tough years of your life in like middle school and high school, like where crazy happens. And I think being a good person or being a great person is really key. And that leads into being a good goalie, you know, being a good teammate and being that backbone. But we try to teach like a ton of communication, being loud, and overemphasizing that. And then also, you know, going back to the basics, and I try to look at their stance and how folks are moving. And I try to get them to really see the power in standing still. Like that is number one. So many people are moving too much these days. And I'm like, dude, stand still. You're showing the shooter like way too much. Right. Mm-hmm. So there you go.
Yeah, there's this, thank you for sharing that, by the way. That was really powerful stuff. I totally agree. There's this technique that I learned. John Galloway calls it the hop. And I've seen a lot of like advanced goalies do it and not even realize that like they're doing it. I think I've seen you do it. I'm not sure, but essentially, you know, you just kind of like do a little jump stop in place, like basketball, right? Like you just kind of jump up and down to reset your weight. And I think that helps a lot of goalies be still, right? Cause you're moving along that crease, right? And then here comes a shot. All right, cool. Now I just kind of like do a little hop in place. Is that something I think I've seen you do that. Does that make any sense?
It makes sense. I think if my goalie coach watched this, I think she'd be like, oh, you got the, or also if Hannah Nielsen watched this, who's my coach the final 2 years, she'd be like, oh, you got the happy feet going. I believe in doing like a stop like that, almost if you're trying to cut more space off, right? So I know the sun's kind of getting me right now, but if you're like turning at X, right? Ball's at X behind, yeah, and they feed it in and you have to quickly rip up. I believe in actually like hopping out into that to cut off more of an angle. Britt Reed, Britt Reed, who's a phenomenal goalie and an assistant out of Denver. She does that really well and taught me that this past summer, of that almost like you're hopping in front and then you're freaking the shooter out because you're almost at the top of the crease. Mm-hmm. So that's something cool that I'm trying to incorporate too. Sorry, I went on a little side.
No, all good. All right. I'm gonna have to make a video kind of explaining what I'm talking about, and I'll send it to you. We'll go from there. Cause I think it's the future of goalie. I really do.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I think that it sounds like something that I'm doing, something crazy that I'm doing.
Yeah. Well, awesome. Okay. So at Michigan, then, I mean, all time save leader, all time winningest goalie, not too bad. Right.
I'm blushing over here. I'm like trying to find the coolest part of the room, and my face is already red. And now you're talking about my stats.
Oh, all good. How was it for you, your college experience playing college lacrosse?
It was a ride. I think like a lot of goalies, I had a crazy experience of, battling my way. I would say that every practice was a battle. There was no day where I was not fighting to try to be the starter, in all honesty. And I had some amazing competition that was in my midst, of people that I've got a whole unit of people that, I love and still support, because one of them is the senior goalie now at Michigan that I got to coach last year as a volunteer.
Yeah.
My freshman year I came in, there were four of us, and it was a shock to my system in the way that I'd never been with other goalies to see different techniques. And I also was just, my whole mentality was just like, like I said before, I didn't know if I necessarily deserved to be there, or I didn't know like if I would be in the cage, or if I would be, I didn't expect to play at all. And so I was just like, let me just try to give positive energy to all my teammates and see how it goes on the sideline or wherever I am. Like, I'll just bring this fun Mira energy. And freshman year, I ended up eventually being the starter, which was insane. So I started our first game, subbed in our second game. And from then on, it was due to injuries and stuff, I had to step up to the plate. And so a lot of times I think back to my career, and I'm so thankful that I had kind of this rock and roll career, because it really made me the goalie who I am. Like, I know how to be a part of a goalie unit, and I know how special it feels to be when you click with other people and you realize that it's so much more than you being in the net. It's all about your unit, right? Like, you as a unit, you want a certain save percentage. You as a unit work together to get a team win. I think that was something that I took then becoming a goalie coach at Harvard my first year, and then at Michigan last year. I guess to answer your question, Damon, it was a wild ride. I'm so thankful for it. I think junior year was probably the year I got the least amount of minutes and where I learned the most about my game, because things weren't clicking. It felt really weird, and it felt like I couldn't make saves. And then that senior year is what I always talk about with people, because I only focused on my game. I focused on being a good teammate, and then I didn't compare my game to anybody else. I just really tried to like hone in on, hey, how can I get better each day in the net, and how can I be a good teammate to my goalie unit? That's my number one priority, as well as the rest of my teammates. And that's when I just had a rocket year, man. Just like, I was bawling and I felt so good. I'm still really proud of that year. It was also just the team. We went on like a 13-0 run, had our first tournament bid as the number, what were we, the number 6 seed, number 8 seed, and we ended up hosting, and we didn't even know what that meant. Like, it was just, it was incredible, man. It was incredible.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. You mentioned in there this feeling of like I don't belong. In the sense of like, you know, wow, everyone's really good. Like, maybe I don't belong. I feel like that's a common feeling amongst goalies. You know, whether you get pulled up, your JV, you get pulled up to the varsity, or you know, you're a high school player, and now you're going out for the college team. Just this feeling of like, I'm not good enough to be here. Like, I don't really belong here. Right. How did you overcome that? And what's your advice to folks who might be feeling that way?
Yeah. I got to think here for a second, because, you know, that's an intense one. Like you said, I think so many people resonate with that feeling. I feel like what I've done, honestly, is I've still held my head, or tried to hold my head high. And I think to the people out there that are feeling that, is even in those situations now, when I look back where I'm like, damn, I felt like I didn't belong, actively in the present moment, I tried to present my most authentic self at the moment. And I tried to kind of show people, and I still do this today, I kind of just give it my all, and I show, and I give them what makes me myself, right? And what makes up all these different parts of me. Cause I feel like so many times when we feel like we don't belong, then we hide, right? And hide parts and kind of step back into not being vulnerable and not expressing how we truly feel. But I'd push those athletes to, you know, kind of say like, I don't feel like I belong, but why is that the case? Like, talk to your coach about like what you can do to try to bridge that gap. I had so many conversations with my coach about like, hey, like am I the starter? I'm on the outside. Like, what can I do to get better? What can I do to feel like I really belong more? And those conversations helped me get through practice, help me, my teammates help me, you know, hash out what I was doing, why I felt like I didn't click. And so, you know, I owe it to those people as well. Like, lean on the people that care about you, right? Like, your teammates, they've got your back, your coach, they've got your back, even though sometimes they might ream you out, or they might make you go on the line and run sprints. Like, they've got your back. So lean on those people and be transparent about how you feel. I think so many times as athletes, we shy away from how we're feeling, right? We just put on more padding. Oh, let me take the shots. Lean into that, right? Lean into those saves.
Yeah. Yeah, I love it. I had I guess she's like a mental game coach on the last goalie summit. And she shared a bunch of lessons kind of hitting on exactly what you were just talking about. And one of them was just this cartoon of like, this snake is kind of talking to this rabbit. And it's like, the snake goes like, hey, I want to be confident. And the rabbit goes, well, just pretend to be confident. And then the snake goes, well, when do I stop? And the rabbit says, never. So a lot of it is like, you know, a lot of it is it's a mental thing. And it's like, you know, I'm by putting in that work, by having those conversations, I'm kind of filling up this confidence reservoir that like, when I need it, I can go in there and tap into it, and be confident. But yeah, it is a tough question, right? I mean, it's not, definitely not an easy one to solve for the goalies that feel that way. Well, I love it. What about, did you ever go through a slump? And if so, like how did you get out of that?
Yeah. I mean, I think we kind of just touched on it. I think, you know, after playing my freshman, sophomore year and that junior year, I think that was a true, kind of slump for me. I didn't really know like what was wrong with my game. And I was journaling a ton and putting in so much time too, and still just kind of fell off. And I think, you know, what helped me get out of that a little bit, even though it took even a full season and a full year, was that confidence piece that you just touched on, Damon. Like, I started tapping into, I got one last run. I didn't know I would ever play pro again, or I didn't even know that I'd get a pro offer. So I thought I would never play lacrosse again. And I was like, I got to make this count, you know, and I'm doing it for so much more than myself. So I think I really found that season, my why in playing. And that's why I came out of my slump. I found that why. And same goes for the summer on the pro side of things, man. I, like, first got there and again started getting that sort of imposter syndrome of like, oh God, I can't make a single save. Like,
right.
These girls are on the US team, the national team. They're so dirty. They're my idols and role models. Like, am I, you know, what's happening? And the first 2 weeks were a little tough. And I was like, you know what? My why for being here is bringing positive energy. And I love the sport of lacrosse, but I also, you know, I'm doing it for more people than myself. And I started loosening up and I got given an opportunity and I started making more saves and I dug in on that why I was playing on the pro side of things. And so, you know, sometimes I think we just got to zoom out for when you're in a slump, zoom out, break it down step by step when we're actually talking about positionally, make it easy on yourself, right? In mentally and physically, make it easy to make the save.
All good. You were talking about the why. If there's like a super young 10, 11, 12, like how do they go about finding their why?
Mm-hmm. So recently I've been meeting all these little kids that are like, I love lacrosse and I, you know, am obsessed with lacrosse, or they love lacrosse because of the idols that play it and they are admiring these role models. And I think finding your why can take time, but I think also it again can be it can be basic and it can be elementary of like, I love playing lacrosse just because I love getting outside and like being with my friends and playing barefoot, or like, I love lacrosse because it gives me a reason to work out and sweat. And so I guess to those people that are still trying to figure out like, why am I doing this, get a journal. Like, get a journal, write some stuff down, just start like jotting some stuff. I've got these crazy journals that I wish I was at my house right now to show you, but they've got like all the breakdowns of what I did in practice that day. And then they've got quotes that I said to myself that like made sense to make a save or made sense to connect with myself on like a spiritual level. And so, I would just say, yeah, grab a journal, start jotting some stuff down. And I guarantee you, your why is going to come out in just like that free form flow of thoughts. Right.
Yeah. I love it. Is there like, how do you journal? Is it, you know, after practice, you're just kind of writing down your thoughts? Is it like first thing in the morning? If someone's listening to this, and many a goalie have talked to the power of journaling. So like, it's real. Yeah. Like, but how do you do it? And how would you recommend folks get started?
Yeah. I mean, so my collegiate journaling, it's a little different now on the pro side, but, when I was really in the midst of this is what I'm doing. This is how it helped my game. I would have a goalie individual, you know, for 30 minutes to an hour, and everything basically, even while we were in the session, but mostly after the session, would just write it down right after. I don't think you should spend too much time between, right? Like, thinking about different things. I think once you find something like, oh my God, like I need to drop my back foot sooner to slide into position before she starts to roll the crease. If that's like the main snippet, boom, I got to write that down immediately. And then for me, I'm actually like a visual learner. So I would need to draw, like, that's why I wish I could show you, Damon, because they're pretty wild, but like I would sketch things out and I would draw a little goalie with freaking curls so that I could remember it mid game. And I would be like, okay, drop the back foot, boom, she's rolling the crease, boom, explode, mattress stick or whatever it was. Right. And then my senior year, when I had done all the journaling my junior year, spent all this time, right? And that was the slump year. The upswing started happening where I knew what I had to do. And I had kind of like envisioned enough that I knew it was in my journal. I would go back right before the game started and I would just read.
Yeah.
Like, and this is like a thick book. I would read like two things and I'd be like, cool. All right. That's like the basics of a low save, or like, yep, cool. This is a really inspirational quote that like I read one day, or like that I said to myself, and I was like, all right, I think I got this.
Yeah.
We can dance.
Yeah. I love that so much. Yeah. That's so powerful. It's like, you know, there are like natural swings just in any goalie's game. Like sometimes you're really hot and hopefully we stay that way for as long as possible, but you are going to go down. Right. And so like, reading those journal entries from when you're really up here. Like, what was I thinking? What was I listening to? What were some of the thoughts in the quotes I'm looking at? And just revisiting that can put you right back in that frame of mind. And now, boom, it's time to get out there and play.
Yeah. Right? I think to that point, Damon, like so many times, right, little goalies are telling me, oh man, I just keep replaying. I keep replaying the bad in my head, right? Like what happens when a shot first goes in? Boom, you're replaying it back over and over again, like trying to figure out what happened. Uh-huh. Don't do that. Like, of course, we got to get better. Go back and film, like dive in, watch it with your coach. But when you're prepping for a game, why would you replay those moments of complete awful experiences and terrible feelings, right? Go back to those moments where you feel so good and you're at the peak of your game, or you're cheering on your teammates because they just scored a goal. Or like you're making an absolutely textbook, beautiful, low split save. Like replay those moments and let that feed into how you're going to make the next save.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that so much. Yeah. I mean, we can focus on, like you said, like you can focus on what needs to be improved upon after, but like definitely harping on negativity during the game is not good. It's not good. Right.
Yeah. Right.
I love that. Awesome. So after Michigan, you do a little bit of coaching, including for, the great Devin Wills. Yeah.
My idol, man. It was actually nuts when it was nuts to be under the great and the goat. Just because it's so funny. I had joked with her one day, I think too, when we were at practice, like, do you remember when I went up to her and I asked her for an autograph on a ball? And this was like way, way back when I was playing club in high school. And, you know, like it was just such an honor to learn from her, but also we have very different styles, you know? And so in terms of our game, but in the way that we coach, it was so beautiful to be able to learn from her and to be able to just see her rock in this head coach position. And just, you know, she's such a loving and warm soul. And I was in a really like tough place, I think, when I moved to Boston. I was just missing my team and missing being a part of something. And of course that season was so hard because it got canceled for us early because of COVID, but everything that I learned from Devin in terms of being a great coach to your staff and also being really great to your goalies was awesome.
That's awesome. I was going to ask you a question that just came to my mind. It's like totally not related, but being a gay athlete, there's something like, I got to figure it out here, because there are so many elite goalies who are gay, right? So many. Devin Will, like Kaylee Watt, yourself, Asia Gold, the list goes on and on. There's got to be something there where like the attributes that make you, that, I don't know. You know what I'm trying to say? Like, I feel like there's an unnaturally high percentage of gay athletes who are elite goalies. Sure. What's your thoughts?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if I could speak for anybody else, but my own experience.
Sure.
I guess how I answer this is, I think it's just been really special for me to be able to be in this position and surrounded by such role models, but also folks that have the same sexual orientation and have been able to build that sort of confidence into their game, right? Like, we know who we are, and it's been really special to be able to feel that sort of authenticity, like we were talking about earlier, and build that into my game, right? Like, and build that sort of like confidence in like, I'm going to wear sweatpants and roll them up and nobody else is going to do this craziness. And I'm going to wear sweats in the summertime when it's 105 in freaking Gaithersburg, Maryland, and have swamp butt and just be crazy. Like, I'm fully embracing like all these parts of myself. And so I think that that's why it's so awesome to be able to like do that. So I don't know if that even answers it. And again, I don't want to speak for those folks, but that's how I've been really wanting to.
I like that. It's like you're comfortable with who you are. Right. And the more you can just bring your personality and your unique little elements, right. And just put it out there, be like, this is who I am, and be comfortable with that. Like, the more confidence you play with, the more confidence you have in life.
Yeah. Well, lucky me, because I thought that you were thinking about a way to ask me about beatboxing on the Zoom. So I'm so glad that we're almost.
No, we're definitely doing that.
I totally
thank you. Thank you for reminding me about that. No, I know music. That was the other thing I wanted to talk to you about was the music. So talk to me a little bit about that. We got the DJing going on. We got the beatboxing. I think if I saw you were in an a cappella group at Michigan, talk to me a little bit about the music.
Yeah, I mean, it's a part of my soul. I really do feel that way about it. Like, I know that is so intense to say and bold, but you know, it ran partially my recruiting process, and it also like makes me the athlete that I am. Whether that's just like making random sounds when I'm in the cage, or whether it's like just, you know, annoying my mom at the dinner table, like beatboxing when she'd be like, shh, can you stop?
Yeah.
So I think like, yeah, it's just been such a big part. It was a big part of my college career because I was in a multicultural a cappella group. And I really needed that sort of diversity and different folks in my life. We practiced 3 days a week for 2 hours, and I would roll up in full sweats and not showered, nastiness, and go to the thing from 9 to 11, you know, after sitting through a 3 hour practice. And so that's how much I loved it. Like, I dedicated a significant amount of time. And yeah, it's, I miss it a lot, but I still, you know, I'm beatboxing in the shower or doing crazy stuff. So
naturally, that's not that crazy.
We make it work.
Yeah. So I would love to hear, you mic'd up in one of these games. Are you like, when you're making saves back there, do we get some like little sound effects or?
Dude, I wish. I haven't thought about doing any sound effects quite yet until very moment. But that would be pretty cool. I love being mic'd up. I mean, it's a special experience.
Yeah. Did they mic you up for AU? Any AU games?
They did. I got mic'd up, I think, twice.
Okay.
And that was super fun. That was super fun.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll be looking for you to make some sound effects when you're mic'd up again next season. All right.
Yeah. I mean, I'll give you all a little taste for like 10 seconds on this Zoom.
Let's go.
All right. Hold on. I gotta move around here because I'm in my office. Hold on.
Yeah.
Give me 1 second and we'll hit. It's like you're now entering the splash zone.
Boom.
All right, so what do you want to hear? Like some goalie-ish?
Yeah.
Let's see what we got. This is going to be total improvisation, so we'll see. All right, ready?
Yeah.
Welcome to my... Wax. Goalie.
That was awesome. All right. We just got the intro to the show right there.
There you go. Mike's goalie rat.
There you go. Mara, thank you so much for coming on the show. We didn't really talk about the AU all that much, but it looked really fun. And I got to admit, I didn't quite like understand what was going on with like the league, just in terms of how it was run, like, you know, drafting and the points until it was almost over. So I'm really excited for it when it comes back around. Are you going to continue to play in that league?
I will be in that league. I just signed my season 2 contract. I'm really looking forward to it. Let's go. Pro women's sports. You know, I think this league is really what we need for our side of the game. It's incredible. And like you said, it's fun to watch when you start to get it and pick up on how it works. But let's just talk more. Have me on again and we'll talk all things at AU. I could talk Athletes Unlimited nonstop. So
we'll have to do that.
Yeah, let's boogie again. Let's do it.
We'll definitely do that. We'll save a date for round two. Mira, if you had to leave the goalies out there with a final piece of advice, what would that be?
We're looping back to what I say in all my Miracle Goalie clinics. And it's, you know, could be a great goalie, but oh, what a world would it would be to be a great person, right? So just remember, you know, hold your head high. Shots go in for all of us. We got your back as a Lax Goalie Rat unit in what we stand for. And yeah, don't forget, be nice to your friends, be nice to your parents, and be that great person that I know y'all can be, right?
Love it. Mira, thank you so much.
Yep.
So there you have it. Hope you enjoyed that conversation with Professional Athletes Unlimited goalie Mira Shane, also the winningest goalie at the University of Michigan, career saves leader there as well. Awesome. Awesome young lady. First time we've ever had some beatboxing on the podcast, and that was phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal. I could probably listen to an entire podcast of Mira Shane beatboxing. That was so cool. Okay, that'll do it for this week. Hope you enjoyed that episode. We'll be back soon with another episode. I've really been pumping them out recently, or at least having the conversations. We'll see how many we can publish. We got the Goalie Summit going on right now. Right now, still time to sign up. You can go to goaliesummit.com, get a free ticket, and you'll get plugged into the latest sessions that we got going on today. Just amazing, amazing lacrosse goalie training content, and it's all free. It's all free. Show up live. There's even some free replays you can get access to if you sign up at goaliesummit.com. All right. Perfect timing because lacrosse season is here for a lot of you. It is the end of March. College season is in full bloom, probably about midway through the season now. It's been awesome to watch. As always, get out there, get some work in, do well, and be well. I'm Coach Damon. Take care.
You've been listening to the Lax Goalie Rat Podcast with your host, Coach Damon Wilson.